Before I read scripture to you, please allow me to make one more remark about this afternoon. It started when two of the members of the Institute asked me whether it would be a possibility of doing some open-air preaching. Now, I'm basically a coward at heart, so I went immediately to Mr. Thomas, and he said yes, so I took heart. I remember the first time, he has done it a lot in Wales, and I have been involved a little bit in Ireland. I still remember when I knocked on my first row of doors. I still remember very well that I said, "I hope you are not home. I hope you are not home." Well, we always have some butterflies when we start, and I openly admit to that. But I think if a number of you could come out, it would be very helpful. What the idea is that a small circle is being formed around the speaker, so there's somewhat of an open-air congregation, and other people who might be on the beach or in the area might join in around. And if there are some people who are interested in giving a testimony, or some people who are willing to sing a song to draw the crowd, please talk to either Mr. Thomas or myself during the mealtime following the service. Let us now begin with the Word of God, and I'd like to read to you two sections from the Word of God and quote one verse in another section. Let me start with quoting the verse where the Lord says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ." That is in Ephesians 4. And I would like to read some from Acts the 20th chapter and 1 Peter the 5th chapter. Acts 20, verse 28. Verse 26, the last part. "I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over to which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brothers, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." And in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Shall we pray? Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we come once again to plead with you for your strength and your mercy in our midst. For we are weak, O God, and we have not much wisdom. In ourselves we have nothing at all. So we ask you, O Father, that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and cleanse us through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And use us all, O Lord, today as we pore over your Scripture to understand its meaning and to see it implemented in our lives. O Father, we cannot preach or listen in our own strength, and we are fully aware of it. And that is why we humble ourselves before you and call on the name of Jesus. Amen. This is the 8th message on the blueprint of the Church of Jesus Christ, a subject that was assigned to me by the McIlwain session. And I've spoken twice on the foundation of the church, 3 times on the mark of the church, once on the membership, and once on the leadership of the church. And now I would like to conclude my series by speaking once again on the leadership of the Church of Jesus. Yesterday we spoke about the leaders in the Church of Jesus as given by Christ and as recognized by the people. And this morning I would like to deal with the task of the leaders in the Church. And because of the time, I would like to confine myself to the nature or the task of the eldership and just not touch upon the diaconate much, if any at all. And I would like to mention three things this morning. First of all, the nature of the task. Secondly, the contents of the task. And thirdly, the purpose of the task. And I would like to derive all three elements from the terms that God is using to designate the leaders in the Church of Jesus. In Titus 1 verse 7, the leaders in the Church of Jesus, the elders in the Church, are called the stewards of God. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, we find that they are called the under-shepherds of Christ. And in Acts, the 20th chapter, we see that they are appointees by the Spirit of God. And I think that the word steward, under-shepherd, and appointee implies immediately that there is no human authority permitted in the Church of the Lord Jesus. The Lord says Himself through the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 5 that they are not allowed to become lords over the flock. And in Matthew 20, verse 25 through 28, the Lord Jesus warns the people that they should not endeavor to take a human authority unto themselves over the people of God. And I think it was John Owen who said that all the authority that the elders have, and there is an authority there, no doubt about it, but that authority is ministerial. It is not a lordly authority. As a matter of fact, the more authority God gives, the more people take on the characteristics of servants. That is what we see in the person of the Lord Jesus. And that is also what we see in the eldership and the Church of Jesus Christ. It is ministerial and not magisterial. They are not the masters of the Church. There is only one Master, Jesus Christ, and the elders in the Church must do His bidding. And therefore, all they may do is to declare and apply the Word of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. To declare and to apply the Word of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is the only task they have. Only the Word, but then the total Word of God. And that is the nature of the task. Declare and apply the Word of God. Now, I do believe that that is why the people who are leaders in the Church of Jesus are called elders and not youngsters. Too often we have youngsters in charge of the Church. And too often that has backfired. I'm not going to say that you have to be of a specific age, but I do say that there must be a maturity in the Word. If there's no maturity in the Word, then there cannot be the declaration of the Word. And if there's no recipiency of the Word in the life of the elder, there can be no application of the Word in the life of the people. There must be a ministerial service rendered by elders in the Church of Jesus in declaring and applying the Word that they know and have experienced themselves. That is the nature of the task. But I would like to go on out to the heart of my message, the contents of the task. You notice that in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the Lord Jesus is placed before us as giving a variety of gifts to the Church. Now, if you take a close look at the Greek, And you find that they are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Now, according to some, pastors and teachers are separate offices. The Greek indicates that it is one item, one person, one office. Pastor hyphen teacher. And I do believe, my friends, that this is written by the Spirit of God for a specific purpose. An elder, a leader in the Church of Jesus, is not just a teacher. Because that will not do. I've seen churches where there are excellent teachers addressing the congregation Sunday after Sunday. But the church still died on the vine. Because an elder ought to be a pastor teacher. And notice, my friends, the pastor aspect comes first. If you don't have a pastor's heart, you cannot teach. And we find it in Acts the 20th chapter. And in 1 Peter 5 as well. Oh, they are called overseers, yes. Oh, they are called elders, yes. But the main task is feeding the flock. And friends, that is wider than teaching. Teaching is an essential element of it. And it may never, ever be forgotten. We may not just simply work on the emotions of people. Or try them to get to do things. No. Teaching is very, very vital. But it must be done by a shepherd. And I would like to state, friends, that until we can say before God that we follow the Lord God Himself, we will not be able to be a proper leader in the Church of Jesus. What is a shepherd? Let us first of all take a look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. When you live in Tennessee, or when you live in Ireland, that is no problem. Because there's a grass all over the place. And there is water all over the place. And you just drop the sheep at the side of the road and they find water and they find grass. But when you go to Jerusalem or to Bethlehem, that was my privilege to have been there just about a year ago, then you notice the barren wilderness. If a shepherd is going to take care of his sheep, he must dig a deep hole and maybe a little water comes out of it. And if he wants to feed his sheep, he must work and work and work, and he may be able to get a couple of patches of grass. And the shepherd's work is back-breaking work. Until the sheep lie down in green pastures. And until they drink of the still waters. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, lions on the left, bears on the right, foxes behind you, and hyenas in front of you, sheep in a barren desert. I will fear no evil. Enemies all around, you prepare a table before me. Yes, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. There's a little booklet, How a Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And I cannot tell you everything, but I want to tell you one item and ask you that if you have a chance to read that little booklet. You anointed my head with oil. He said, what does that mean? We don't understand it until you become a shepherd. And you know that there are certain little lice type of little creatures that attach themselves to the skin of the sheep. And they bug those sheep. They become very, very unhappy. They itch all over. And there's only one way to take care of them. And to take that sheep and to bathe that sheep in a specific type of oil. But you cannot dip the head in that oil because the sheep would die. And what the shepherd is doing is take the sheep on his lap and take a little cloth and to take care of that head and to touch every part of the head with that cloth dipped in oil so that those little lice will die. My dear friends, those sheep can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, for I dwell in the house of the Lord, the good shepherd. And I would like to ask you, friends, from the very core of my heart, and it applies to elders and their wives, because you cannot separate them. You cannot separate the shepherd from his wife because of the back-breaking work. And ask also to the congregation, can you say, elder, that your sheep will say of you, yes, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Yes, he leads me beside the still waters. He will give me of his time. He will give me of his energy. He will give me of his prayers. He has committed himself to me. Yes, he takes my head and he is not just dunking me in oil quickly to get it over with, but he is willing to spend time with me. And then I understand how a young man says, I don't want you to touch my pastor, because when I have trouble in my home, when I have trouble in my family, this man was there, and he held my hand, and he read the word, and he prayed with me, and he spent hour upon hour upon hour, and look, all the little lice have been killed. I am not itching anymore. The Lord has set me free through his ministry. I was in deep depression as if the shadows of death came upon me. But this man was there all the time. In the time of my greatest need, he picked me up out of a horrible pit. That, my friend, is the great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. And friends, the elders who must be pastors and teachers must be willing to do that. As the Apostle Paul says, you know how I went and visited you publicly and from house to house in Acts 20. And how I did not cease to be in your home and to warn you and to comfort you and to teach you and to admonish you and to encourage you day and night under tears. He says to the elders, I want you to take care of the flock as I have taken care of you. You be imitators of me as I was of Christ. And friends, that is not full enough. Because the great shepherd is always complemented by the good shepherd, as we find it in John 10, who gives his life for the sheep. And I'm honest with you, friend. No elder in the Church of Jesus may do anything less. Because you have to give account of every soul that has been entrusted to your care. Every soul. And Paul says, I am free of the blood of them all. If the gospel was hidden, it was because their eyes were closed and not because of my ministry. It is back-breaking work, friend. It is total commitment to the sheep of Jesus Christ. And it takes 24 hours a day. And I give you just a simple example, also to show you how important the wives are in this particular framework. If the shepherds, at the time of the birth of our precious Savior, would have said to their wives, "Oh, those dumb sheep, let them be in the field, and I'm going to stay home with my wife tonight." If they would have said that, then the heavens would have been ripped open, and the angel would have come right there in the fields of Bethlehem, and he would have said, "I see a lot of sheep, but I see no shepherds." That is the work of a shepherd, day and night. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the door. Everyone who tries to enter in another area from other areas is a thief or a robber." And then you walk through the fields of Bethlehem or Jerusalem, and there you see all of a sudden what a sheep pen is all about. It's a row of stones. Is one opening. And who sleeps in the opening? It is the shepherd. And when the wolf is coming, the shepherd is the first one who wakes up. Because if he tries to enter through the door, he will have to keep him out. If a lion or a bear is coming, he will have to give his life for the sheep. That, my friend, is shepherding. And now you understand what I said yesterday about the qualifications. An elder may not be soon angry. And an elder must be hospitable. And he may not be a fighter. He is not a cowboy. He is a shepherd. And as someone said at one time, in America we love cowboys. But you see, they are right off in the sunset. And you don't hear of them anymore. It's different with a shepherd. It's dirty work, friend. You smell. You start smelling as the sheep smell. And this man said, "Do you know? Two or three men have attained to the presidency of the United States as they were born in shepherd families. But you have never seen a cowboy gotten to the presidency of the United States." And I think there is some truth to that. And there's some implications there from which we may learn. The Bible says also that Paul is not only engaged in teaching and preaching, but also in praying. You've got to pray for your people, for your sheep. Take out a membership list and pray through that membership list. 5 or 6 families a day. At least once a week, pray, as under-shepherd of the great shepherd. Because what is he doing today? The great shepherd is no longer teaching. He is no longer preaching. But he is interceding day and night for his people. When I don't pray for myself, he prays for me. But I don't pray for my family, he prays for it. If I don't pray for my church, he prays for the church. It's a ministry of intercession that will go on until the return of the Lord Jesus. Shepherds, follow the good shepherd who gives his life, his time, and his energy. Are the elders among us hospitable? Are they willing to open up their homes? That is where you get the sheep to open up, friends. Not just a matter of teaching, but shepherding, taking them in. And a pastor said, "I was somewhere in one of my congregations 2 years, and I've never been invited for dinner, even in the house of one of my elders." And that's usually the first thing elders are doing. When was the last time, elder, that you opened your home? Elders, wife, do you love it so that your husband can minister to the people? Or do you say, "Oh, that's too much of a burden"? I plead with you. Pursue hospitality pertains to everyone. But the elders, the leaders, must give the great and glorious example. Shepherding. It takes everything out of you to admonish and to spank the sheep, quotation mark. One of the men who knows a lot about shepherding told me that every once in a while you have a very naughty little sheep and tries to get away all the time. And you know what the shepherd is doing? He takes that little sheep and he breaks one of its tiny legs. And it hurts. And then he takes it in his arms for 2 and 3 days until that tiny leg is being healed. Because he knows, the sheep knows, I cannot run away. And the shepherd knows, if I let it go, it will die. He takes it in his arms and he nourishes it and nurtures it and refreshes it. And after 2-3 days, when that little leg is healed, he can safely put it on the ground, for that little sheep will never, ever leave the shepherd again. And that is a fact of natural truth. And you see the same thing in the under shepherd in God, among God's people. You work with them, you do with them what needs to be done, and they will love you until the moment of your death. Oh, they will see your mistakes. They will see your faults. But they will say, where were you in time of my need? He was shepherding to me. And you can never, ever take that away from me. And of course, you must shepherd with the word. But then you must know the word, how you can apply it. And how you can bring it about, and how you can bring it into the lives of the people. Sure, that must be done. But the pastoral aspect comes first. And then, as you have gained the hearts of your people, you may take that word, and you may comfort with it, and encourage with it, and teach with it, and rebuke with it, and admonish with it, whatever you wish. Whatever is needful in the life of the sheep. But the pastoral aspect, my dear friends, comes first. And then finally, the purpose of the task. The purpose of the task, according to the 4th chapter of the Ephesians, God gave pastors and teachers. What is the purpose of that? To equip the saints. And if you take a close look at Ephesians 4, then for all practical purposes, I may state, and you understand if you were at our earlier sessions on the blueprint of the Church of Jesus, that people must be equipped unto fellowship, speaking and acting the truth. As Ephesians 4 and 11 tell us, so that the people of God will edify, so there will be mutual edification, so that as the word comes from the pastors and teachers, it may pass on to other family members, to other friends. Say, my dear friend, your wife is not well, and she had to stay at home. Or one of the children was not well, had to stay at home. You pass on the word as it comes through the public ministry, and you sit down this afternoon and you read the passages of the word of God, and you edify your wife or your child. That is part of it. And you are equipped unto ministry, unto acting the truth in love as you hear the word of God. People will start acting out, implementing the things they heard in terms of brotherly love, in terms of time. You have time for people. Oh, that is one of the most horrible things. But you don't have time for one another. Somebody knocks on your door. Oh, I'm too busy for this. Even one of my pastor friends said. And then he was called in the evening hour by a man who was in dire need. Will you please come over because I'm in need? Or may I come over to see you? And my friend says, well, it is my day off, but I'm going to make time for you. The man immediately drew back. And he said, well, if it's your day off, I don't really want to bother you. I'll come tomorrow morning. And my pastor friend was a little uneasy. He said, well, okay, if you insist, tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, he stepped in his office. But it was not the same anymore. And they were never able to resolve the question. He didn't really open up. Because the pastor had no time for the man. Do we have time for one another? Do we have time for our children? I know, especially in the earlier part of my ministry, I had no time for my children. And some of the benefits, quote unquote, I reap now, and they are not benefits. I mean that. Do you have time? And still there are times you can sit behind your television an hour and you cannot play with your children. That's a time for one another. That's what you find in Acts, the second chapter. They were always together, every day. Our time is not our own. We are stewards of our time. I talked already about our treasures. What do we do with our money? Our money is not our own. You must give it to those who have more need than we have. Not just to the poor, because we can think we are poor. And I can always find somebody who is richer than I am. Let us share with those who have less than we have. And how about our talents? I'm a carpenter. There's a man who is not able to do the work that he has to do. Can we give him a hand? I have a skill that you may not have. I want to help you. You see, and if the shepherds are showing the example, they must be examples for the flock of Jesus. You cannot just teach the people, you must train the people. And you must do it yourself. The people will follow in your footsteps as the Lord Jesus had his disciples follow in his footsteps. And that, my friend, is equipping, training, be on the battlefield with them so that they can share the word and they can act the word in love. And that is the purpose. That is the purpose of the eldership. And you know, in addition to that, they don't only encourage unto obedience in this regard, but they also encourage the members to find their gifts in the one area or the other, as I talked about it earlier. Where are your gifts? In the area of speaking or of acting? And now you see beautifully how the whole circle in the Church of Jesus is completed, because the elders encourage obedience and the usage of the gifts until new eldership rises up from among the ranks. Gifts of God, and they can be added to the eldership. And those again will start the training process. The better the people are trained, the better elders there will be, and the better they will be able to train others. And that, my friends, is the task of the leadership in terms of the elders in the Church of Jesus. And you know, I have been able to talk, I could have talked and enlarged upon quite a few aspects. We've got to be able to go into the homes to do that. Elder, a young man once stated to me that he had been in a church for 2 years and he had never had an elder visitation. And finally he left the church. And the elder said, why did you leave the church? And he said, brother, you have never ever cared for me. That you visited me in the home. That you cried with me. Under tears. Never ever. And the elder asked for forgiveness. I praise God for that. Elders are not administrators. Deacons are administrators. They take care of everything. Everything. That would prevent the elders from being in the word and in prayer and equipping the saints unto speaking and acting the truth in love. And elders, get yourself a number of deacons around you who can organize the congregation so that you are being freed for that equipping. And elders, equip the brothers, and brothers and sisters, ask to be equipped. Ask for your gifts to be developed. And then the church of Jesus will start to receive all the manifestations of the mark of the Church of Christ on which we spoke earlier. To the glory of our God, even the angels will look at such a church, and they will see the manifold wisdom of God displayed in the church, which is the new humanity. Oh, how important you are, friends! Do you know that without the Church of Jesus, history would have come to a stop? Why were the seals of the book being opened? Because the Bible says in Revelation, the 5th chapter, nobody can open the book of the history of the world except the Lamb of God, because He has redeemed them from all nations and all tongues. Without the Church of Jesus, this history would have come to a dead stop. And oh, how foolish Satan is, because when he succeeds in stopping the witness of the church in the end time, then the Lord Jesus says, this will also be the end of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Everything is pinned upon you, O Church of Jesus, even the glory unto the Lord by means of the angels. Never ever hide yourself. But then, as you are being formed by the Almighty, leaders and members alike, plead with God that you will be obedient to the word of the Almighty with regard to your specific function in the body and task that He has given you. And the Lord will even add those to the church who should be saved unto the glory of His own precious name. Shall we pray? Our Father, we ask You that the teaching on the task of the leadership may not just be an intellectual exercise, but that it may be really and truly experiential religion, that it may have come down in our hearts and will be implemented in our lives, that we will really understand it in the full sense of the word. And Father, we can only plead with You for forgiveness now. We can only ask You that You will forgive us our sins through the blood of Jesus, and empower us through the Spirit of Christ, that at house with the living stone will rise unto eternity, and will indeed be built in a powerful fashion to show the glory of Your grace and the sparkling beauty of Your mercy and the strength of Your majesty and the sovereignty of Your dealings with men. O Lord, hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.